This is Tri-State's Public Radio News. A service that benefits visually impaired people in the Tri-States marks a milestone on March 13th. Tri-State's Audio Information Services, or AIS, will celebrate its 40th anniversary. Its services are provided through Tri-State's Public Radio. Jane Carlson is director of AIS. She says planning for the services started a couple years before they began broadcasting.
When Helen Ware, the first blind graduate of Western Illinois University, came back to Macomb after retiring from a teaching career at the Illinois School for the Blind in Jacksonville, she knew that reading services were popping up all over the country, and she wanted to know why Macomb and WIU didn't have one. So she started talking to administrators and worked with some folks to research. They wrote some grants, and after a couple years of planning, the first broadcast was on March 13th, 1978.
And how did it come to be affiliated with what is now Tri-State's Public Radio?
Well, we operate on subcarrier channels of FM stations. So from the beginning, we were a service of WIUM operating on the subcarrier channel. And as WIUM has grown, so has the Radio Information Service.
And so people who want to listen to this, you couldn't just find this on a regular radio dial, correct?
No. Essentially, it's closed circuit radio. There's a couple reasons for that. First, we're broadcasting copyrighted material. So we can do that if it's expressly for individuals with disabilities, and you have to have the special receiver to hear it on a radio. We also use those radios because they're very easy for people to operate who have disabilities.
How does someone go about getting one of those radios?
We have an application they can fill out online. I go to senior fairs. They're referred by people in nursing homes, family members. It is provided at no cost to eligible listeners.
Do you foresee a day when instead of distributing those radios, this will all be streamed online and someone could listen that way if they wanted to?
It is streamed online now. The majority of our listeners are elderly people with age-related visual impairments, and so they still prefer the radios at this point. We're ready for the next generation of people who might need the service. We have Wi-Fi-enabled radios. It's available on phones. At some point, we'll do podcasts that people can download. But for right now, the subcarrier radios are still what our listeners prefer.
And who is reading all this material to them?
Since day one, we've depended on volunteers. When we first started in 1978, we had about 20 volunteers, and the broadcasts were from 1 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. We now have about 75 volunteers. We also have a number of WIU students who read for us. We produce about 100 hours of content each week in our studios, and that is through volunteers and students.
Is that typical for these types of services to produce that much content?
Yes, that's our bread and butter. What we're trying to do is connect individuals who cannot read printed materials to the information they wouldn't otherwise be able to access. So not just school board meetings and city council meetings, that kind of coverage, but obituaries and event notices, anything that a sighted person consumes from the newspaper without any problem. We're providing that in audio format so they're not missing out on anything.
And when you're not airing locally produced content, what are you airing?
We have a backup service, Gateway Radio Reading for the Blind out of New York, and that's our backup and overnight programming. It's also content created specifically for individuals with print impairments.
How has the service changed over the past 40 years, has it?
Well, the core mission has not changed. In 1978 and now, our mission is to foster equal access to information for individuals with disabilities. Our service has grown. When we first started, we covered all or part of 7 counties in West Central Illinois, and now we cover all or part of 20 counties in 3 states.
Why would you tell someone to join the family, if you would, to volunteer?
Well, it's amazing to me that the service has produced so much content with volunteers over the years. It truly is a collaborative effort. When you look back at the number of people who have come into our studios and offered their time and talents, it's amazing. I have a quote in my office and it's from Helen Keller that I think is appropriate. Alone we can do so little, and together we can do so much.
How would someone go about volunteering?
You can go to our website at tristatesaudio.org. There's an application online there, or call us at 309-298-2403.
Well, what do you expect from a volunteer? How much time commitment, and what exactly do you expect of a volunteer?
It's either a half hour or an hour commitment each week. We'll match volunteers up with a program that is appealing to them, whether that's a magazine or a newspaper. They'll also get to decide whether they want to read live or pre-record. They come in and record the material.
Jane Carlson is director of Tri-States Audio Information Services, which marks its 40th anniversary tomorrow. It will hold a birthday party in its studios for current and former volunteers and staff members. Carlson says two people, in addition to Helen Weir, helped start the audio service. One is Tug Haddock, who was station manager of WIUM. The other is Robert Milkman, who was director of Western's Office of Instructional Technology. I'm Rich Egger, Tri-States Public Radio News.